Are you still cold? Are you hot now? Everybody's afraid to say yes. Okay. Whew. Romans chapter 1. Is everybody okay? One. Oh, did I say eight? Verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Bear with me. I'm not here yet, but I'll be here. Romans 8, verse 1, would you read it with me? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That law of sin and death is called the law of carnality. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, an account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be what? Fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the... So the way you break... The only way to break the law of carnality is to fulfill it. Everybody got it? And it's by being filled with the Spirit. Amen? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So how many of you want to please God? Then you can't. You must break the law of carnality. The only way that you're going to please God is to break the law of carnality, and that's by fulfilling the law of carnality and the laws that expose carnality. Has everybody got it? So we know here that then there's a law of the Spirit and then there's a law of carnality, isn't there? One brings bondage and one brings freedom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. One of the ways of breaking the wall of carnality is praise and worship, isn't it? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is everybody there? Starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me? And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like what? Behaving like mere men. Why? Because mere men are bound by carnality. They serve the law of carnality. And by serving the law of carnality, the end result is death and separation from God. In Hosea chapter 5. In other words, the law of carnality enslaves individuals to promote flesh and death. Hosea chapter 5. In verse 10. Hosea chapter 5 verse 10. Is everybody there? Read it with me, please. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by what? Human precepts, which is what? The law of carnality. Because he willingly walked by human precepts, therefore I will be to Ephraim like a moth and to the house of Judah like rottenness. Again, in verse 10, it says, the princes of Judah are like those who remove the landmark. That landmark, in other words, they are, because of the wall of carnality, and God has given them a way to escape, they've actually moved that and accepted the bondage of the carnal and rejected the way of escape through the Spirit. Okay? Does everybody get that? And in the area where obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? See, so there, God is always trying to make a way of escape for me and you. He's always trying to keep us in that arena where heaven is real. Home is real. Keeping us in the mindset that this is temporary. This is temporary. This is temporary. This is temporary. Everybody say, this is temporary. Sometimes it's like a one-night sleep. You might call a nightmare, but it's actually a one-night dream. Hallelujah. Human precepts, law of carnality, in Galatians chapter 4. You know, it's like the enemy is always trying to build a cage around you to enslave you. And you're always knocking it down and breaking it down every single day. He never stops. Just like, you know, do you ever go outside and you see the ants out there? Man, you might see a little pile of ants and you step on it by mistake and they're all over the place, you know. And you may scatter it. You can throw hot water on it, try and kill them and whatever. And man, a day or two later, they're over there building it all over again. It reminds me like the enemy. He never stops trying to enslave us. He does it 24 hours a day. He is the enslaver. He doesn't stop. Does everybody get it? And God is always trying to make a way of escape for us. He doesn't stop trying to rescue us. Thank God. In Galatians 4. In verse, starting at 1, please. Let's read it. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but under the guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. The elements of the world are what? The law of carnality. But when the fullness of the time had come, God set forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law of carnality, to what? Redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, which means the word Abba means daddy. Daddy. So there's an area where he says, relation. Listen. Many people have a long-distance relationship with people. Many people have a long-distance relationship with God. It's like they're living in two different places. Dad wants you to live in his house. Close. In a relationship where he is dad. Not just father, but daddy. In that close relationship, there is intimacy. See, he reveals secrets to those who are close to him. These secrets are things that he expresses to you. I'm not talking about counsel, correction, and direction. I'm talking about mysteries of heaven. Things that he allows you to see or taste. Certain areas that he brings us into, that there is such a knowing that it can't be expressed or explained. It can only be experienced. Because he wants you to know in that area that that side becomes more real to you than this side. When the other side becomes more real to you than this side, nothing matters. You know that everything will work to the good no matter what goes on. You know that you are encamped by angels. It says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God. See, fearing God doesn't mean you're afraid of him. Fearing God means you honor and respect. In other words, you know him. You reverence him. You honor him. You respect him. He's your dad. And if he's your dad, he wouldn't let anything harmful come to you. If he's your dad, he's going to try to get you things. But let me tell you, if there's a long-distance relationship, that means he's got to send something in the mail. And it takes longer. I'd rather be in the same house. Because then the enemy has more areas to attack and intercept things. I'd rather have it directed right from his hand than have it be sent from somewhere else. Oh, God help us. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 7. Would you read that with me? Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be what? In bondage. See, one of the things that the enemy does, again, tries to constantly build that cage around you. And when we begin to get caught up and lose sight of home. You know, I saw a flick years ago. I don't know, maybe it's something. It's a very weird flick. And I don't recommend people to watch it. It was with David Bowie. It was called A Man That Fell to Earth. And it was this, and you know, anybody knows about David Bowie, he's kind of a strange guy. But anyways, one of the things that the story was about is he was this rock star and so forth. And he left his planet because they needed water. And he came to the earth to get water. And every time he would go to sleep, he would remember his family and everything where he came from. And he would see his wife there and his children, and they were waiting for him and waiting for him. And fame and fortune continued to separate him. He became caught up in success, in money. He became an alcoholic. And when he would pass out, he would always dream about home. And he only had a certain time to fulfill before there was permanent separation. And he never fulfilled it. And that always reminded me of my life. I always wondered, even when I was out in the world, will I ever fulfill what I'm supposed to do? Even though I didn't know what I was supposed to do. But every one of us is born with a desire that says, there's something I'm supposed to do. Even though we're busy and we get busy and we wonder, is this what I'm supposed to do? When it's really not. The worst thing that can happen to me and you is to be successful in the wrong assignment. That's the worst thing that can happen to us. That's why we must separate ourselves unto him. to find out what's up. See, when you get into that place of relationship, there is an anointing of a walk that I don't need to have an answer. I don't need to have an answer. I just wait till the next command. And in the meantime, I enjoy my relationship in expectation, not false expectation, but an expectation that something He wants to bring to me, and I want to stay alert not to miss it. Because I hate missing it. And I'm not saying I haven't, because I have. And then I beg Him, please bring it around again. Sorry. But He's faithful. And sometimes He'll even bring it in a double portion. And sometimes He doesn't bring it around again. He brings another direction or something else. Is everybody okay? See, so the elements of the world will is utilized because it's influence of demonic activity. The ruler of this earth is Satan. He's constantly trying to build a cage around me and you. And you only you can let Him build it. God will not remove it. You must remove it. Does everybody get this? Why am I in bondage again? Because you allowed it. Why am I doing this again? Because you allowed it. You can't blame God. Go to Psalm 141. Hallelujah. Psalm 141. Let's speak it, please. Lord, I cry to You. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry to You. Let my prayer be set before You as an incense. The lifting of my hands is the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to do any evil thing. Do not incline to practice what? Wicked works with men who work iniquity. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me. It shall be a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It shall be an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it, for still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Their judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, as when one plows and breaks up the earth. But my eyes are upon You, O God, the Lord, and You I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. Hello. For it is written, for it is spoken, and so shall it be. And I can tell you that there's times when the Lord has given me this psalm every single day for the last week. He knows what my afflictions are. He knows what I'm going through. He knows how I feel. He knows everything. But He's there to guide us. And even when the walls of carnality start to get built up to promote the laws of carnality, He always makes a way to break these things down. But if we're not listening, if we're not in fellowship, if we're not in prayer, if we're not waiting, if we're not patient, we miss. And then we go about business, which is self-business and not kingdom business. And we wonder where God is at. Where are You at? Well, he went straight and you made a left turn. And he waits for you to come back. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Let's speak it together. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. That means breaking through something. He's causing a breakthrough. And he's saying, look, I'm going to set you into a place, but there's something you got to, I'm going to cross you over. And by crossing you over now, there's something you can't do. You can't get caught up where you're going. You must stay caught up in him. Here he says, that you may fear the Lord, your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you. And you and your sons and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and oil trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you what? Forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. See, so many times, God may free you from being addicted. He may heal you. But then the enemy doesn't stop building that cage again. He never stops building the cage to enslave you and bring you back to bondage. And he even likes to dress it up. He builds you in, puts you in a cage and puts curtains on it, nice pictures and all kinds of stuff. The thing is you don't even know you're enslaved. He puts imagery of nice trees and things that are beautiful out there, all carnality things. And you think everything is just fine. The problem is loss of relationship, long distance. Things are not fine in a long distance relationship. In 2 Peter chapter 2. Then we'll go to 2 Peter chapter 2, okay? Maybe. Second Timothy chapter 2. Start at verse 1. Would you read it? You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Listen, everyone here is called to be a teacher. Oh, I can't teach. Who told you that? You are called to be a teacher. If you're in this house, you're called to be a teacher. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the what? Rules. These are the laws of the Spirit. So you must compete according to the laws of the Spirit, not according to the laws of carnality. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. See, so you and I must compete. We are competing. That means that you and I must be filled with the Spirit of God, be led by the Spirit, and walk according to the laws of the Spirit, not according to the laws of carnality. Because one promotes life and one promotes death. One promotes freedom, one promotes bondage. And again, we go back to close relationship, not long distance. In Romans 6, Romans chapter 6. In verse 14. For sin shall not what? Have dominion over you. For you are not under the law of what? Carnality. You are under the law of the Spirit. And by being under the law of the Spirit, you are actually fulfilling the law of carnality. That's how you break through. Not obeying it. Does everybody get it? There's a difference. You're fulfilling it, not obeying it. What then? Verse 15. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to what? Righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. From where? The heart, not the mind. That from that the form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as the slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end is what? Everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Second Peter chapter 2. Breaking the laws of carnality. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 18, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Read it with me, please. It says, for when they speak swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the what? Flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. In other words, the enemy doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. When you think he stopped, that's when he builds. In verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit. In other words, a dog represents a demonized person. So when a dog returns to its own vomit, it means that a person is being influenced by a demon, and that same demon that had them before has come back and brought them back in a state of bondage again. And so, having washed and to her wallowing in mire. Does everybody get that? Listen, doesn't the Bible say that when a person gets freed and cleaned, that demons come back 7 times stronger? 7 of them, right? They're trying to re-enter. Why? Because they've been in you for so long. They've been in us for so long. They still call us our house. Let me tell you, the devil still says you're his child. He hasn't given up on you. He will constantly try to build that cage around you and enslave you. It's never over until you enter and you get before God and he says, enter my faithful servant. Then it's over. But until then, it's not over. Hallelujah. Romans 7. In verse 14. Let's speak it. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but not to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in the law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. A wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In other words, there's an area now he's talking because he is born again now. Now he has the mind of Christ. He is now yielding himself over to the Spirit to serve the law of the Spirit because he realizes that he cannot overcome sin himself. He cannot overcome. Why? Because the only way to break through the law of carnality is to fulfill the law. And the only way that he's going to do that is by yielding himself over to the law of the Spirit, which will fulfill the law of carnality. And he will have breakthrough. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. So there's something that's we want to do. We must set our mind in motion. In other words, we must activate our thoughts. Activating your thoughts. You activate your thoughts. How do you activate? You make a choice. How do you speak? You speak the word, begins to activate your thoughts. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ. That's when you pull out your book and you start speaking the word of God. Why? Because it's now going to activate your mind. And the more you do that, the more things begin to happen. The more you get encouraged. Let me share something with you, very important. Sometimes it's difficult to praise and worship. You know, you may be sick, you may be whatever, and you're like, oh. But I'll tell you, there's one area, and one of the things, the greatest thing, and I love the gifts of the Spirit. But one of the things that God has given us is a gift that helps you break through the law of carnality. When you can't do anything else, you speak in tongues. That is the first thing that I find myself that assists me to break through the law of carnality. Why? Because it brings me into the law of the Spirit. Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. It is the first thing. That's why when we get up in the morning, it's good to invite the Holy Spirit and you start praying in tongues. Why? Because, man, let me tell you, by the time you get up in the morning, there's a half a wall built. And you're too tired and too lazy to jump over it. So the only way to break that is to start praying in the Spirit. You start praying in the Spirit. You start praying in tongues. You start praying in tongues. You start praying in tongues as you're going down to make your coffee or your tea. You start praying in your tongues as you go. And you start praying in tongues. Then you start. Why? Because that's how you get to prayer. That's why many people never even make it to prayer, because the walls have been built around them. The law of carnality has enslaved them, and they can't even make it to prayer. And the only thing they're thinking about is getting to work on time. And they're enslaved. And the devil gives them a paintbrush to start painting portraits in their own cage. Go to Romans 8. Verse 26. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would you read it with me? Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our what? Weaknesses. Hello? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be what? Uttered. That word uttered is representation of understood. Because there's a groaning within you. He's saying, come on, kickstart that Harley. Shubaba. Shubaba bakiro bogo sarabakia. Then it fires up. Shandaraba kebrohosa. And you start kicking, man. Then you get up and you start kicking. Holy Ghost karate starts kicking the walls down, man. The law of carnality starts backing up. The Lord starts dispatching His angels. They start kicking down for you. The presence of God starts coming around. For I don't know what to pray. Well, then pray in the Spirit. But I haven't got the gift of tongues yet. Oh, but you do. Oh, but you do. This is what's preventing it from manifesting. He would not hold anything back that you ask for. This is what the law of carnality prevents it. Verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes what? Intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Praise God. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to settle this. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1. Pursue what? Love. Right. Wait a minute. Love is the substance that connects us everything. Amen? The love of God is the substance that connects. Pursue love. Desire what? Why? Wait a minute. Desire. Did he tell you not to desire that? desire them. Man, I'll never forget, man. I went into this church. I heard all these people praying in tongues. I almost ran out. What the heck is this? But there was something that kept me there. The love of the people. I said, something must be right here. Because I sure don't know it all. Even though that voice in my mind is saying, that's the devil. Obviously, I wasn't born again. And even Saul, before he became king, hung around with those who were prophesying. Hanging around with those who were praying in the Spirit. Just hanging around until it manifests. Step out in faith. Open your mouth, sir. I don't care if you sound like a baby. That's called faith. And I desired it. I said, wow, that's really neat. What is that? What are you doing? Did you go to school for that stuff? They teach us at this church? No, man. You get baptized in the Holy Ghost, man. Really? I want that. I didn't receive Jesus yet. I went home, went to the pool. The water stirred. The angel came and I got changed. Believe me, I was speaking in more than tongues. I was speaking a bird saying, God, I don't know why I love this bird. It's dead. It comes alive. You know what I mean? All kinds of stuff. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you what? Prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. Whoa. Man, you want to speak to God? Well, I don't know what to say to him. Pray in the spirit. He knows exactly. Look, the Spirit's going to pray through you the perfect will of God so that those walls come down and kick butt. Verse 14. It says, for when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15. What's the conclusion? I will pray with the spirit. That means tongues. I will also pray with the understanding. That's my common language. I will sing with the spirit, that is singing in tongues. And I will also sing with the understanding that your common language. Does everybody get it? Praise God. Turn to the book of Jude. What is the substance that connects everything in the spirit?
Love.
Okay. Jude 20. Glory. Would you read it with me? But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your what? Most holy faith. How many of y'all need faith increase? Praying in what? The Holy Spirit. That means tongues. Keep yourselves in a what? Love. Well, hello, what's he saying? Come on, pray in the Holy Spirit. God's going to fill you with his love, which is the substance that connects all things. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto what? Eternal life. Praying in this, building your most holy faith. Building up. That's the first thing that I utilize to break through the laws of carnality and break down the walls of carnality. It's praying in tongues. Praying in the spirit. Because why? The anointing begins to get released. The eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty begins to get released around me. And I'm making way. I'm making way. Pushing back the powers of darkness. Speaking directly to my Father because he knows exactly what I need. So he begins to dispatch angels and kick butt all around me. He's, get off of my son. Get off of my son. Get off of my son. Break that wall. You, go do this. He needs this today. Does everybody get that? He needs encouragement. I'm going to have this person call him to encourage him. You know, I got a call yesterday from a guy I ain't talked to in over 10 years. He graduated from here, was gone. I haven't seen him. He was a SEAL, a Navy SEAL at one time. And he called and he shared with me about he was grateful, everything he learned and so forth and this and that. And I was like, wow. And I knew my dad sent him because I needed some encouragement. I know he sent him. And he said that the pastor was leaving the church and they asked him to pastor it. And he called me for prayer. I'm thinking, wow, I haven't talked to this guy in almost 10 years. I thought, wow. And what a blessing it was. You know, what a blessing. Because he knows what you need. But, you know, you got to make way for things to come. It's our purpose and our way. In other words, we've got to make way for him. He doesn't make way for you. You make way for him. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2. I got a lot here, but I guess I ought to close. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 12. Read it with me. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and that the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Why? Because those are the things that promote the laws of carnality in enslaved people. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. And even now many of the Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they may be made manifest, that none of them were of us. Why? Because they became enslaved. They became enslaved, and the enemy took them out. Why? Because now they're under Antichrist spirit. They're not under the law of the spirit. They're under the law of carnality. Verse 20, read this with me. But you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Wow. So the anointing is what breaks the yokes, doesn't it? It's the eternal presence and power of Christ that we want to abide in. And again, the enemy does not stop utilizing the laws of carnality to build the walls of carnality around you and enslave you. He doesn't stop. You must break through every single day. You skip a day, the wall builds. It's our responsibility to make way for him. It's not his responsibility to make way for you. He already did that. Is everybody okay? Praise God. I want to finish this. But you have an anointing one from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Why? Because a lie will what? Enslave you. A lie is a part of the law of carnality. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the anointed one? That he is the anointed. Let me tell you, didn't Peter deny Christ? Amen. What influenced him? The Antichrist spirits. All demons are Antichrist spirits, okay? They influenced him. Why? They brought him in what? Fear. He was afraid for his life. But see, you and I have come to a place where we're not afraid of death. In fact, death is a promotion. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Acknowledging means you follow. Yeah, I'm a believer. What were you doing in the bar? What do you mean? Why are you shacking with this person? Why are you watching pornography? Why are you doing those things? Why aren't you in fellowship? Why isn't God first? Why do you work 90 hours a week and deny Christ? What? You don't think he can provide for you? You got to do it yourself. Does everybody get this? You want to deny him? Then do your will. And be enslaved again. He has come to set the captives free. Didn't we sing today, he's our healer, he's our provider? He will make a way. Give him a break. Hallelujah. In verse 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us what? Eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. Deceive you. Let me tell you, your bosses sometimes that are carnal will try to deceive you. They try to enslave you. Why? Because they're only interested in his money, isn't it? Unless you got a spirit-filled boss, then his interest is in you. But the anointing, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you don't need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So he talks as Jesus, the anointed one, through his spirit, teaches me and you. We are being taught today by the anointing, not by a person named Guy. Because Guy's an idiot. He can't tell nothing. Only through the Spirit are we able to see, hear, walk, and empower. Other than that, you and I are nothing. Amen? I'm going to close at Colossians 3. I'm skipping about seven scriptures that I really want to get out, but praise God. Colossians 3. We'll read Colossians in case it rains. Praise God. Is everybody there? Start at verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above. Where Christ is. Sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds in motion on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Yes. When Christ, who is our life. Come on, get it. Christ, who is our life. In other words, there's no life without him. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Whoa, oneness. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, and out, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. In all. Breaking the laws of carnality. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed in impartation be protected by the blood of Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit quicken us to this word, that we may know who we are, the true identity that reflects the Son of the Most High God, with dominion, authority, and power, that we may be breakers of the law of carnality by fulfilling your law and the law of